Yes, a hi, hello, and welcome inside a Friday show. Welcome in. Lots to get to today, a lot of basketball to discuss. We're going to get to all the particulars a little bit later on. Wapahani boys basketball in the 2A state title game tomorrow, and Rob Fisher will be with us at 4:45. He's our analyst for the broadcast coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's an interesting matchup. It's obviously there's so much to the story that basketball feels like the driver of a lot of the emotional side of different things related to the story from the last couple of weeks, as we well know. And this experience, folks, is truly, truly unique. Like today. Our office had the day off, so I spent most of my day gathering notes and putting things together for the broadcast tomorrow. And what I realized is this: you got to understand something here. So there are 99 teams in 2A. Only two of them go to the basketball state finals. 406 schools are a part of all four classes. Eight of those 406 schools get to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. If you think about how hard it is to even just get out of your sectional. You know, I remember all the way back to February, and we've been through a 5-week grind of all of this, obviously the week in between due to the NCAA tournament. And Wapahani got the draw of LaPel. LaPel had won 16 of their last 17 games heading into that game. And, you know, it kind of started there with this narrative. Well, the length is going to be a problem for Wapahani. You know, they're very guard-centric. What are they going to do when they have to deal with a team that has size and some length? Well, all Wapahani did was hold LaPel to 31 points in the game, win 47-31. Then they navigated the sectional. They get to the regional round, and it really was the first of the few matchups here along the run that was very highly anticipated. We went back to the Fieldhouse Classic when Tipton ended up beating Delta, and thinking about, hey, you know, if both teams end up navigating through their sectional, what a matchup that's going to be in regional. Well, Wapahani led by one at halftime and then exploded in the third quarter, winning by 24 points in a regional championship neutral site game. And it was talked about, hey, you know, they haven't seen guard size like Tipton has. And all Wapahani did was win by 24 points. They get to the semi-state round. And, you know, people overlook the North Judson game and the morning game of the semi-state round. That is the same situation they had a year ago where they lost to Lewis Cass in a game that many have been replaying back in their head, because obviously it was one that you felt like slipped away from you the year before. So you win that North Judson game, do so by winning by 20, and then it's Fort Wayne Blackhawk. Yes, they lost some senior leadership from the year before, but that's the defending state champion in 2A. You go to overtime after, I think in some cases you might have thought the emotion might have taken over for Fort Wayne Blackhawk to get back to the 2A state final. And all Isaac Andrews does is score 14 points in the overtime period, and they win by 11. Another situation where, oh, hey, you know, there's a big guy. The picket kid from Fort Wayne Blackhawk's pretty good. How's Wapahani going to deal with it? Well, they navigated it well. And it was more so about the matchups that Wapahani presented at the end of the day. And here they are in the 2A state final. And, you know, I bring all of this up to say this. Brownstown Central is going to be the toughest test for this basketball team. And it's not just because you're in the state final, but for obvious reasons with Jack Benner and that crew as a whole. But something just tells me nothing's going to faze Wapahani at this point of the year. They've heard it all year long. And, you know, you win 26 games, and yet there's been so much doubt. It kind of feels that way, does it not? That every step of the way, okay, they win a sectional, maybe that was expected, but the rest of the state wanted to see how Wapahani was going to handle the Tiptons, how they were going to handle Fort Wayne Blackhawk, and they're asking the same question against Brownstown Central coming up. And I wonder from a statewide standpoint, if it's going to start to shift and you say, well, how are you going to handle Wapahani's shooting ability? How are you going to handle the fact that they defend well no matter who they play? They're the top defensive team in the state, in 2A in the state. Like, you know, Brownstown Central scores the most points in the state in 2A. Wapahani gives up the least amount of points in 2A. So it's a little bit of a clash of styles in a way. That being said, you know, Brownstown Central's a pretty good defensive team and Wapahani's a pretty good shooting team. So, there's something that you should sit here and not doubt them. And we're not trying to give the just local angle of what to expect in this basketball game. Brownstown Central is going to go into tomorrow as the favorite. And I wonder if you asked the team and you asked the coaching staff and you said, you know what, are you okay with them being the favorite? They might let them have it and just say, you know what, hey, that's okay. Hey, Brownstown Central, sure, have them be the favorite. That's fine. That's okay. Because I would imagine, and I think this is the case from a prediction standpoint, Tipton was a favorite in the regional game. In the regional championship. Fort Wayne Blackhawk, it was split. Even though Wapahani had a better strength of schedule, had a better overall record, had a lot of other metrics that would lend itself to making. They have been an underdog in just about two of the last three games. And here they are, number two in the state, and they're going to be maybe a double-digit underdog from a prediction standpoint in this particular game as well. So be it. You know, why not? Why would you? You know, the mantra of this basketball team is we're not going to change anything. They have approached each and every game as they have all season long, focusing on themselves and focusing on what they do well. And I don't know about you, but it seemed to work pretty darn well down the stretch here. So, at the end of the day, that is going to be very, very interesting to see. This is a team that, while they haven't experienced a state finals appearance, while they haven't won a semi-state championship, acts like they've been there before. This is not a team that you would feel like this moment's going to be too big at the end of the day. And I guess if you get here, there's a reason why you're here, okay? But, you know, I've done enough of these state championship games to realize this. The experience of going to the state finals is not just about the game itself. Now, when you lock in and get to tomorrow, and by the way, tonight they had a police escort. Earlier today they had a police escort to get out of town. They're headed down to Indianapolis tonight. And then, obviously, they'll be in the second game tomorrow. But, you know, it's that overnight stay. It's what today is as well with the luncheon, the Kiwanis luncheon at the boys basketball state finals, which I would love to go to one of those at some point because I know it's such a unique and neat tradition that they do in Central Indiana. Then it's about, you know, being disciplined and getting up in the morning and getting yourself ready in a different environment because when you go to away games for the most part, right? The away games, you go that night, you play the game, you come back to your own bed, your own home. So the experience is, hey, got to get to stay overnight in Indianapolis, you know? And from small town Selma, Indiana, man, and Coach Lewis in this program has talked about it, like every one of these experiences is something that these young men in that program will absolutely never forget. But the rest of the town is also going to have that same experience as well. And in a lot of ways, when you get to the state finals and get to experience that and get to be a part of the experience, that is a part of this as well. And that is the coolest part of it all. And they've gotten to soak it up for a couple of weeks in a lot of ways. You know, they've had autograph signings. They've had businesses donate meals to them. I mean, it truly is something really, really cool. And so, you know, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. When I do state championship games, one of the best conversations you could have is with the head coach. Because the head coach gets to watch his players and his team just soak up all of these different things. I've done 1A and 2A basketball games for the last 4 or 5 years at different levels of girls basketball, boys basketball. I've done swimming. I've done all these things. And you know what? The experience doesn't change. And you know what also is unique about this? And we're going to highlight this on the broadcast tomorrow. Dave Benter, the head coach for Brownstown Central, and Matt Luce, the head coach for Wapahani, have coached in a lot of tournament games. They both have winning records. And folks, I don't think you understand for a coach in Matt Luce that's coached 20 years in high school basketball, and Dave Benter, who's coached 26 years at Brownstown Central, it's hard to have a winning record. Because if you don't win a state championship, you're at least going to have one loss on that resume. It's hard to have a winning record in tournament play. I think I saw it that Dave Benter has, this is going to be his 89th tournament game that he's coached. And the third state championship he's coached in. He lost the previous two as a head coach with Brownstown Central. He's been with Brownstown Central for 26 years. Matt Luce is going to have some, I think this is like his 55th tournament game that he's coached. So dive into the numbers today. And his first state final that he has coached in. So, again, the coaches are going to do all they can to make it about the team, make it about the players and those sorts of things. But there's some significance there about two of some of the longest tenured head coaches in the state of Indiana, never to win one, to get here and be 55 and 89 games respectively coaching in the tournament. I mean, they've got over 100 wins in tournament play combined with their two records. And neither of them have won a state championship. That's unique, and it guess goes deeper into the fact of how hard it is to get there. You know, I hear this all the time, okay? I hear it all the time about the class system making it so much easier to get to the state finals, and yeah, I mean, the odds are better. The you're playing teams based on enrollment that is similar to yours. I get that. But Brownstown Central has had, in the last 20 years, 10 20-win seasons. They have won zero state championships. Wapahani, 5 in the last 12 years, zero state championships. And I'm not highlighting that to say anything other than this. It is darn hard to, A, get there, and B, win it. So, you know, I don't love that argument that I hear, and it pushes back, you know, on the statistics and those sorts of things. But you can have, I mean, both of these teams have faced 5 or more teams that have 20 wins this year. Brownstown Central beat Scottsburg, who's going to play in the 3A state championship. But other than that, every other 20-win team didn't get to the state finals. Heck, most of them didn't even win a regional. Some won a sectional, but most of them bowed out at regional action. Like, it is amazing how great your season has to be to get to this point. So dive into the uniqueness of this all. It truly is a special run. First time in 18 years, a Delaware County team has made it to the state finals at any level. The last was Muncie Central back in 2006. They went back-to-back years, 2005-2006 against Lawrence North, and then it was 2002 when Delta went to the state finals as well in the 97-2 as well. So, again, it's a big afternoon coming up for the county. I would imagine you're going to see a lot of Delaware County basketball representation at Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow. Now, I want to dive into this real quick, and Rob Fisher's going to join us coming up in a little bit, and I want to get to this. Like, I have done, and I'm not just talking about it personally to tell you how many state championships I've done, but I do think this matters, okay, coming up tomorrow. You know, I get the feeling for both of these teams, Brownstown Central and Wapahani, the size of the gym, the largeness of the facility is going to be something that they probably already experienced. Now, I also feel like this, the crowd noise is going to be very similar to what both of these teams experience. You would think in a larger venue, you would think there'd be more people. Yes, there's going to be more people, but the place is not even going to be close to capacity. For those of you that have gone to Wapahani games at Soma, and I remember when Muncie Central went there a couple of years ago for the first time, going into a small town gym, high school basketball at the 2A, 1A level. You know, Muncie Central plays at the North Walnut Street Fieldhouse, a 7,000-seat facility. And they go to a place that's maybe 1,000, maybe a little less than that, something along those lines. And when you pack that gym, you have everybody in that tight space, and that sound travels when things, the roar, when Wapahani gets a big play to go their way. The momentum shifts in the game tomorrow is going to be nothing for Brownstown Central and Wapahani. Like, there will be more people there, but I don't think it'll be any louder than it is in their home gyms. And it got me thinking about that because, you know, it is really fun to go to those games and call those games because, I'll tell you, from our equipment standpoint, we never need a crowd mic going to Wapahani High School. Never. Because the crowd noise is intense. But, you know, that is going to maybe let these players kind of settle in a little bit more. Like, this isn't – both of these teams and these programs have been successful for a very long time. So that, in a nutshell, leads to great crowd support, great community support, which in turn means their gyms more often than not have been filled. And so you're not going to have this shock factor when you walk into Gainbridge Fieldhouse and you feel the momentum of Brownstown Central and you feel the momentum from Wapahani. Both of these teams aren't going to do that, which is going to be a lot of fun. Like, I guess long story short, these teams are going to be able to settle in quicker than maybe any other situation that way. You know, I guess in the 4A game, you've got Ben Davis and Fishers who have been in big venues and those sorts of things. But I would think it'd be a little bit of a transition for teams like that to go into a 1A, 2A packed gym. It's different. It is just so different. And so I think that lends itself to both of these teams having success tomorrow. I'm not going to make a prediction, but I will tell you this. I think it's going to be one heck of a game because both teams have great stories. Jack Benner's a Mr. Basketball candidate. Isaac Andrews should be an Indiana All-Star. I agree. I talked with Matt Luce the other day. He believes that. I do as well. Isaac Andrews was a junior All-Star last year in a rotational sense. I think he is, in some ways, maybe made his case even stronger as these IHSA playoffs have continued. So, we're going to recap this here in a little bit, but here is our coverage tomorrow for those of you curious to listen to Wapahani and Brownstown Central here tomorrow. 11 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. In studio here at the WMUN Studios, Jared Boomer will be anchoring a program that we're very proud to bring this coverage to you. It's going to have some sports components there, but also some interviews with our news department. Steve Wendell anchoring a lot of that. Brett Busby as well. It's going to bring you a lot of interviews from the town of Soma, from what's gone on the past couple of weeks, and diving into the sports angle of all of this and what the town of Soma is experiencing with everything that has occurred over the last 2 weeks. I have an interview with Kyle Nedenrip from the Indianapolis Star. We'll play the length of that interview coming up tomorrow. And then Jared will speak with Rick Johnston and Rob Fisher, who will be on game site tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour. When you hit noon tomorrow, that's when our game coverage begins. Rick Johnston and Rob Fisher will begin. I will join a little bit later in the 12 o'clock hour and lead you all the way up to tip-off in the live play-by-play with myself, Rob Fisher, and Rick Johnston from Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Wapahani, and Brownstown Central tomorrow. If you have any curiosities of where to listen, where to find us, all those sorts of things, head to our social media pages, but of course 92.5 FM, 1340 AM. But this is the proper time. If you're going to be on the go tomorrow and won't be at the game, or heck, if you're even at the game and have a chance to listen, you can download the WMUN app and that will keep you up to date. You can listen live to what is going on with Wapahani and Brownstown Central tomorrow. A big thanks to our crew for all their work this week and last week to get everything in place, to put together what is what we expect to be a very special broadcast coming up tomorrow on WMUN. More coming up on that with Rob Fisher coming up at 4:45 on the program right here. So last night was interesting in college basketball, I got to tell you. You know, we had some interesting matchups. I caught the end of the Clemson-Arizona game. Goodness gracious, what a win for Clemson, who, you know, what's interesting is they really aren't seen as a college basketball school, but for some reason, they were a team this year that everyone said, you got to watch out for Clemson, and it turned out to be that way. We're going to dive into that. Also talk a little bit of Purdue because they got a big one coming up a little bit later this evening against Gonzaga. We'll talk about it all here on The Power on a Friday here on the Talk of Muncie WMUN. Yes, welcome back inside the program, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN, is always presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com, 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you, 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. Ball State baseball in a battle with Ohio. It's a two-game set. It's a weekend set, I should say. And it's needed for Ball State baseball. They had a nice turnaround win a little bit earlier this week. That was yesterday, actually, against Ohio. They won 7-6, but as they've gotten off to their start in conference play, there's a lot to go, but certainly need some W's, and they're in a matchup with Ohio today, Ohio tomorrow, and then a midweek game with Bellarmine, and then Miami of Ohio. So really, as you head throughout the next couple of months, the meat of your conference schedule is really going to occur in April. I'd be curious to see where Ball State is in the middle part of April, and that'll give you a better indication. So you have, you had the Ohio matchup. So you have 1-2, so 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The next 11 games between the series of Western Michigan, Akron, Miami of Ohio, and these next two Ohio games is going to really show you where you're at. And look, it was a nice turnaround win. Ball State is winners of their last three. They beat Toledo in the final game at Toledo of the set last weekend, beat Southern Indiana earlier this week, and then Ohio yesterday, and they're in a matchup with Ohio right now, and have Ohio at the First Merchants Ballpark Complex as we speak right now. So that's what's going on. Also, Janelle Rogers is putting together some really impressive numbers. She went to the NCAA championships a year ago and continuing to do that. It's the indoor season, and then the outdoor season will occur. That's pretty impressive what she's doing. And again, she's trying to get back. And look, at the end of the day, she might even have an Olympic sort of case to be made as well. But we'll be following the Janelle Rogers situation as well, who does the all-round competition and, again, made the NCAA championships a year ago. So a little bit going on there with Ball State sports. Well, last night there was some expected in college basketball, and there were some unexpected. The expected, UConn rolled 82-52, and here's what the conversation is ending up becoming. And I'm split on this because when you see a team like UConn, number one seed, number one overall seed, that is, defending national champion, and they're rolling right now, it is one of those things where people are comparing them to 2022 Georgia, who won the national championship in college football, that they're that dominant and that there isn't a match for them, that they're going to continue to roll like this throughout the entirety of the NCAA tournament. And that's what gets a little bit worrisome if I'm a fan, because they have not been challenged whatsoever. at all. They did lose three games this year. They're 34-3. And, you know, this time last year they were able to lock in with head coach Danny Hurley and roll, but this is a different team from a year ago. Now, so far, so good. I'll tell you that much. They will face off, I guess, against Alabama coming up on Saturday, coming up tomorrow, that is, for a spot in the Final Four. So UConn in the Elite Eight for a second straight year. I don't know if they're this invincible, impenetrable type of team, but that seems to be the narrative out there. Alabama defeats North Carolina 89-87. I'll tell you this, when the bracket came out, I did feel as though North Carolina was the weakest of the number one seeds. Now, what a career for Armando Bacot, who we've talked about on this program before. It's been a couple of years. But Alabama's playing really good basketball, and they have good guard play. I mean, right now they're playing well from a guard standpoint. And then Illinois got it done over Iowa State. You know, it felt like Illinois was really on that 3-2 line as far as where they'd be seated, and they got the three-point victory over Iowa State. But I got to tell you, the one game I watched last night, and it was appalling to watch. Appalling to watch. Clemson beats Arizona 77-72, and I don't want to take anything away from Clemson. They made the right plays down the stretch to win this basketball game. But folks, if you're a basketball coach or you know a lot of basketball and you watched that game last night, it was some of the most maddening defensive basketball that I think I have ever seen in late game situations. It was unbelievable. And it was on both sides, if you really want to know the truth. There was a lot of one-on-one basketball being had, a lot of ball watching, and guys going backdoor, I mean, streaking to the lane. It happened in three or four consecutive possessions. And as Arizona is trying to cut into the lead, and quite frankly, they had a couple of momentous situations, they let a couple of drivers for Clemson get right to the edge of the rim, either get fouled or a three-point play. There were two back-to-back three-point plays with an individual defender for Arizona getting beat by a step and putting the defender in a bad leverage situation where he fouled and the offensive player scored in a foul. I mean, it was unbelievable. Arizona had its chances. Now, people are going to focus on, if they didn't watch the game, the issues shooting the basketball, and they were bad. I mean, they were really bad from the perimeter. We understand that. But, man, if you watched any portion of that game, it was some of the worst defensive basketball to close a game that I have ever seen. And, you know, if you're an administrator looking at the way your team is coached down the stretch, I don't know. Tommy Lloyd's the head coach. I don't know. I'm not going to ask for anybody to be fired. But you had to watch the end of that game. And, look, I get it. Some out there may say, well, if it's bad defensive basketball, is it more about the defense that's not being played, or is it more about the execution from the offensive side? Well, here's what the crazy part is, because in basketball, we talked about this over the last couple of weeks. When you make a shot and have the ability to set up your defense on the other end, it makes it much more difficult on the opposition to get into their sets and work a half-court offense. Well, it went back and forth, made shot after made shot after made shot, and they were not contested looks. it was some bad defensive basketball. But hey, Clemson moves on. They look like a tough team, man. And the reason why is playing inside and out, and they can really score. I don't know if it just became that sort of style of game at the end, but man, they did not look good defensively, but Arizona didn't look good defensively either. Clemson just had the upper hand down the stretch. They made clutch free throws, all the different things you need to do to win basketball games, but folks, that was some bad defensive basketball. It was really bad down the stretch. And, you know, you feel like when you get to the Sweet 16, you get to the Elite Eight, you get to some of these later rounds in the NCAA tournament, and you expect the play on both sides to be better. But I thought situationally, Clemson and Arizona handled the defensive side very, very poorly at the end. And, you know, again, some credit needs to go to the individual offensive players. I get that. But for the most part, it looked like just, I hate to keep repeating, but just bad defensive basketball. It wasn't good defensive basketball. So coming up tonight, there'll be some interest for these games. NC State versus Marquette, that's the 11 seed versus the 2. Number 4 seeded Duke versus number 1 Houston. Look, Houston's my national champion, and based on the way Duke looked last Sunday, that makes me nervous. Because Duke looked really, really good. Houston, the number 1 seed there. And the number 3 seed, Creighton, versus number 2 seed, Tennessee. And then the game that everybody's kind of got their eyes on here in the state of Indiana, 7:39 tip between number 5 seed, Gonzaga, and number 1 seeded, Purdue. I really feel like Purdue found something last week. Now, this sounds ridiculous when they found something. They're 31-4. But they found something in the way that they established Zach Edey early on in games. You know, because different teams are going to throw different things at you in trying to make things difficult on Edey, because, of course, everything kind of runs through him from an offensive and defensive standpoint because of the size and the ability he has on both sides of the floor. But what I mean by Purdue found something is when they can adjust off of the first couple of looks that teams give Zach Edey, their other guys just got immense confidence down the floor. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because when Purdue started to make shots from other guys and then Edey got going late in the first half against Utah State on Sunday, man, it just provides such a predicament for the opposition. And, you know, I don't know if Purdue played excellent defensively, but, man, they were just making shots after shot. Everybody, it was contagious. But what you were able to get off the bench from guys like Colvin and Gillis and even Heidi played very, very well. And then Braden Smith was great. I remember watching Braden Smith at Westfield and feeling like he was going to be something special, and he's been fantastic. Edey did his thing, but, you know, it's got to be a dangerous proposition when Zach Edey scores 2 of your 52 points in the second half of play, and you win going away. Because there was so much attention on Edey. Gonzaga and Purdue played earlier this season. That was a long, long time ago. I'm not sure if it matters at the end of the day. But what would put Purdue in a tough position is if Edey ever got in foul trouble or their other guys weren't making shots, quite frankly. That is what happened last year against Fairleigh Dickinson when Purdue was the number 1 seed and they beat him as the 16. You know, everybody else around Edie's got to be great. And Purdue can win based on Edey being great, but they have to get what they need to get from other guys around. It sounds like very simple 101 basketball, but it's really the formula for Purdue, because if they do what they did to dictate the game like they did against Utah State, I have a hard time feeling like anybody's going to beat them this weekend. That being Gonzaga or Creighton or Tennessee, I really feel that way. So we'll see. I'll be watching tonight. I'm excited to watch the game tonight. So, all right, when we come back, short segment. And then after that, Rob Fisher, our analyst on high school broadcast, will join us. You're listening to The Power on the Talk of Muncie, WMUN. As always, presented in part by Sheriff Goslin Roofing. Your roof is there to protect your family. Make sure you're doing all you can to protect them. Sheriff Goslin Roofing has been helping families for generations. Remember to call Pete Dahlia or look them up at worryfreeroof.com. As the Indiana Pacers are going to have a matchup tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers. That's at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Well, quite a turnaround for the Gainbridge Fieldhouse staff, as they have the home game with the Lakers tonight, and then tomorrow the first game of the IHSA Boys Basketball State Finals is at 10:30 in the morning, and then games all day, and then they have a game with the Brooklyn Nets on Monday. But that's the life of venues that turn into multiple different venues. So in less than a week's time, you have had the NCAA tournament there. You have had a couple of Pacers games, and then the IHSA Boys Basketball State Finals, all in a week's time. That's kind of what happens at that venue. So we'll see how all of that plays out. We were going to have George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin on today, as he normally does, talking Colts. But George is covering the NCAA Women's Tournament Sweet 16, and Notre Dame just got upset by Oregon State. IU is playing South Carolina shortly thereafter, so George is on the beat for that. But we'll certainly have a conversation with George next week about a lot of Colts topics as we can start to dive into that, getting into the month of April, and we're about three and a half weeks away from the draft. I, for one, am glad the draft ridiculousness isn't what it was a year ago at this time. It was just, it felt like every day you had to rehash, is it going to be Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, et cetera. You know, I'm glad we don't have that this year. Now, maybe down the road you will again. Hopefully Anthony Richardson's your guy and nobody wants him not to be the guy. But at the end of the day, you've got your quarterback and you don't have to play that game this year, which is nice. Very, very nice. So, all right, we're going to get back in the conversation about Wapahani Boys Basketball with Rob Fisher. He is scheduled to join us next, and we'll break it all down for you in the final segment of the show for the week. We're back with you next on the Power Talk of Muncie WMUN. Final segment of the week on this program, by far not the last segment of our coverage this week of Wapahani Boys Basketball. That's all coming your way tomorrow. We're brought to you in part by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. It's a big one tomorrow. Wapahani Boys Basketball going for a 2A state title, and the analyst on that broadcast, Rob Fisher, joins us. Rob, it does feel like Super Bowl week a little bit due to the fact that, we've had the 2 week in between, but here we are. It's finally here, huh?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it probably did Wapahani some good with what has obviously been well chronicled, what Selma's been through right before the semi-state. They probably needed that extra week, but as we talked about last week, it gave those kids a chance to be rock stars, too. I mean, you mentioned the autograph signing and all the things the community has done for them. And so let them enjoy it. And for this time, 2 weeks is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and look, there's, again, being around this and talking to coaches and doing these state finals events over the years, like, I think people just think you're preparing for a two-week stretch and there's not a lot of time to enjoy, but really the charm of going to the state finals is, I mean, something as simple as staying overnight in Indianapolis. For small-town kids, I mean, that's a huge deal, going to the Kiwanis Boys Basketball Luncheon today, having the autograph signings and those sorts of things. Like, the two-week aspect makes you get to enjoy it even more, and the experience is as valuable as playing in the game. Now, I feel like where you're at right now in the week, it's all game prep now. This isn't enjoying anything. This is about getting the job done, right?
Oh, no question about it. And you said the key word, it's the experience that the kids and the coaches get to enjoy, all those things that you mentioned. But, yeah, at some point, I'm sure yesterday or early today, Coach said, all right, now it's time to turn our attention to what we're here for. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, this is my first time and your first time as well covering a local Delaware County team in the boys basketball state finals. It's been 18 years since the last time that happened, with Muncie Central going in 06. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier, and you might have heard it, about the small gym aspect and how that could actually help Brownstown Central and Wapahani going to Gainbridge Fieldhouse, that, like, the momentous parts of crowd noise and those sorts of things, it just won't be an issue. And I wonder if that translates in a positive for both teams being able to settle in and not get too caught up in, oh my gosh, we're at Gainbridge, it's in the state finals, it's all these different things. It might just be the nerves of a big game, not the environment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the noise will be there like it always has been. It's just that they're so far, much farther away from you. as opposed to playing at Selma or at Brownstown or some of the gyms that they play in through the season. I think both communities are going to be well represented there, and I think there's going to be noise, but it's just that they're so far away from you, it seems like, there. And I know you mentioned the fact that the shooting, you know, different environment. And to me, it was always, I thought shooters would probably have a difficulty with that depth perception.
Yeah.
It's so vast in there. You know, when you're shooting from the wings and the corners, it's a different look in that background. But yeah, I enjoyed the reference you made of the Hoosiers and measuring the rim and so forth.
and actually, Nick Cook, his mom, Coach Luce told me this. There was a tape measure that was packed in the back, so he got to. I mean, I feel like every team that gets to Gainbridge, Hinkle, whatever, yeah. it's such an iconic scene, and it's almost Hoosier tradition in a way. So
you have to wonder if anybody yelled Hickory.
That's right. Rob Fisher with us, our analyst on High School Broadcast. All the coverage of Wapahani boys basketball tomorrow. I don't want to give too much away of our prep because I know you've been hard at work at it. I know that's been most of my day to day. But this is something we may not bring up a ton on the pregame show, so I'll ask you now. More important for Wapahani to control Jack Benner, or more important for Wapahani to be able to control everybody else and make Jack Benner exert all the energy and put the team on his back?
I would say the latter. I think just by watching, you know, been able to watch Wapahani through this tournament trail, especially over the regional and semi-state, I think Brownstown Central brings a different challenge just because they've got much more quality players, not to take away anything from the players from Tipton as a whole or North Judson or Fort Wayne Blackhawk. Everybody had one or two really good players, but the supporting cast I didn't think was as good as Wapahani. But this week, I think it's different. I think the starting five that and then with that Brownstown will use, and they'll go maybe seven or eight deep. A lot more guys in that lineup that'll be on that floor for Brownstown can hurt you, as opposed to those other teams in the last couple of weeks at Wapahani, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's such an interesting aspect because, you know, you would think from the outside you're trying to do everything to make everything hard on Jack Benner, and you're still going to do that. But at the end of the day, can you send two guys at him defensively and force him to give it up and get one-on-one looks for other guys to make shots? Because as good as Wapahani is from the perimeter, Brownstown Central may be even better from the season perspective.
No question about it. And, you know, I think you've got to give a little bit of help to Benner or on Benner. You have to just to at least slow him down a little bit. And he can play just about anywhere on the floor and be effective. He can post up, and obviously he's a deep threat. Mid-range jump shot is very good. But I think you have to help a little bit. But again, you called it, some of those guys that they can put on the perimeter, they're just like Wapahani, just a little bit taller, but they can shoot just as well.
What about because you've seen them every step of the way, we asked the question about length and how Wapahani would deal with it at the Tipton game and then at the Fort Wayne Blackhawk game. And they've mastered all of those tasks. So what is it that is allowing Wapahani to be able to give up that size? And yet it's not just been that they've hit a bunch of perimeter shots, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Their three-point percentage has skyrocketed in the tournament. But they are holding teams to their standard defensively, even with the size that they're giving up, which I think has gone unnoticed in this run, Rob.
Well, in my opinion, I've said it for the last couple of weeks. I really think, and obviously they're a great defensive team as it is, because, you know, you give up 40 points and you're number one in Class 2A in defense, you're doing pretty good. But I think I have felt like their offense is just a big part of their defense, too, just because of the way they can run their offense. With the screening and the cutting, and it kind of offsets that size because they can pose mismatch problems themselves just by the way they handle the ball. You know, they only turn it over five or six times a game. So you're going to have to come out and really guard them. And I really think, and it was, as you recall, very evident in that Tipton game, their offense just wore Tipton down. They just got so fatigued trying to guard them. And that's why I feel like Wapahani's offense is a big part of their defense as well.
Yeah, the pace and those sorts of things feels like Wapahani can play at just about any pace from that standpoint. We got about 30 seconds here, Rob, but I just find it so fitting as well. This is a unique perspective. Dave Bender, the head coach, 26 years at Brownstown Central. Matt Luce, 17 years, 20 overall. And combined, they've had 132 tournament games that they've coached. And Dave's coached in two different state finals, but this will be the first for Matt Luce. One of these guys is going to win their first state championship, too. Very long tenure. I think that's a neat storyline as well.
Oh, no question about it. And it just goes to show that a lot of great coaches out there, and they've never been able to win a state championship. There's a lot of them. But obviously, as you said, one of the two is going to get their first one, and we're just hoping it's the guy that is wearing that red and white.
It's going to be exciting. Rob is going to be a part of the coverage in the 11 o'clock hour, and then he and I will take the seat at noon at Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow. Safe travels, my friend. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. We got a big one tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Mark. Thank you.
That's Rob Fisher with us. Excellent work from him, as always. Coverage begins at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Wapahani boys basketball state championship coverage. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow.